brought to you by Satanic International Network. You're listening to The Ooze.
Upon the stage, every foul wicked spirit in the host, The Ooze.
20 minutes, Daniel Rulevé, on The Ooze, spread out.
On The Ooze, it's gonna fucking rock. Be there.
They kind of missed the whole point.
To really tap into have a serial time
necessitates a certain fortitude.
Now onto our show.
It's that time again, and you are listening to The Ooze. This is Jason Sorrell doing the hosting duties right now. TC has logged into the chat room, so I see him on the chat board there. But just waiting on him to call in. And that was a little technical glitch there that we had going on. The reason the chat room is a little slow coming up tonight is because, I was waiting for my partner in crime to sign on to the switchboard. So I'll be waiting for him to call in. And while we're waiting on that, we're going to be talking tonight about technology. We're going to be talking about the scientific gadgets that have come out recently that some of the stuff's cutting edge, some of the stuff is kind of pop culture, some of the stuff's been around for a little while, but stuff that's coming out that was kind of science fiction, maybe even within the last, 50 years or so, things that just didn't seem like they were ever going to come around. So we're going to be talking about just different technologies, different little things. And I've got a list, actually, of different devices that I dug up in preparation for the show. On the show page, the description page there are links there to all these little different devices. I'm going to be kind of going down a list as we talk tonight. And if you folks want to call in about some devices that either you would like to see come out as far as technology is concerned, because, hey, you never know who's listening to the news, or things that you know about that have come out that I didn't include in my list, we definitely want to hear from you. Call 347-989-1371. And TC, if you're in the chat room, hey, man, the call-in number is 347-989-1371. Otherwise, I'll be doing this whole hour by myself here, which is a lot less fun. So first thing, this is what kind of got my brain bubbling about this show. The stun ray that I ran across while reading some news and everything else, this is a cool device, all right? This is basically a high-powered flashlight. So this stun ray, what it does, is it looks like a little rifle, basically, and you get hit in the face by this flash of light. And it does just the opposite of what a regular flash, or what a blinding you, where your neural, your eyes, the nerves in your eyes stop working. It does the opposite of you being blind. It actually overstimulates the nerves in your eyes. So all you see is white from this thing, okay? This beam is so powerful that it can illuminate a newspaper from up to a mile away, okay? So you get hit in the face with this thing, you're disoriented, you're blind, and the blindness could be for a while. So it's a really cool device, something I'd like to actually have, around the house to use to, line my way down the hallway or fuck with the neighbors or things like that. And a lot of these devices that are out there are things that you can mess with other people, and we'll be getting to all that here in just a moment. That's what kind of got my brain going. And these anti-personnel devices are being used in combat right now. There are a lot of blazers, and they have different names for them and everything else, but they use these anti-personnel devices, and they're working on these different devices to affect people so that they don't have to necessarily kill them, just disrupt whatever they're doing and getting to stop their attack or whatever. And one of these, these blinding things is one way to go, bright, bright light. And this is just a handheld device, so it's pretty cool. I was really impressed when I read about this. So before I go any before I go any further, I just want to make sure that folks in the chat room can hear me, because usually I have somebody I'm talking to, so I know they're not, actually speaking to somebody. So let me know in the chat room if you can hear me. I'm going to go ahead and bring a caller on. Maybe they'll have that answer for me. Hang on just a second. 858 error code, you are on the Ooze. It's on your brain, man.
Hey, Jason, Zach, man. I'm just calling in to stand in for Beast until he gets his shit together.
Okay. All right. Cool, man.
Yeah, we can hear you
we're
just
talking
fine,
about. Okay. Cool. Cool. So we're talking about different technologies, and like I said, this stun ray thing kind of got me going, and I'm a big fan of Jackass too. So there's a lot of anti-personnel devices out there. Former military, so these different less lethal devices, less lethal weapons, interested in that kind of thing, interested in home defense and stuff like that. And this, I mean, this is basically just a high-powered, a ridiculously high-powered flashlight. But just looks, I mean, it looks badass to me, you know, walking around this thing and just hit somebody in the face with this flash of light, and they drop, they go blind, they're done. So kind of digging on that device.
You know, I saw something on like on cable, something about like modern weapons or whatever series that is on, like, you know, the History Channel, whatever. And they have this like riot control thing where it's basically this giant, looks like these giant satellites, and it shoots microwaves at people, and it'll basically give you like an instant fucking sunburn and make you run away. I thought that was pretty clever too.
Right on, right on. Yeah, I've heard about that. The high radiation, the device. I kind of want to, since we're talking about anti-personnel devices, I kind of want to skip ahead on my list. If you look down the list, folks, on the description, you'll see anti-personnel lasers, force fields, and stun devices. If you click on that link, you will actually go to an electronics website where they will send you the instructions, basically, on how to construct different anti-personnel devices. Now, they intend that you use these devices for pest control and home security and things like that. But they have like an ultrasonic force field that basically, if you go into this area, it emits a certain type of frequency that messes with your brain, actually causes you pain, and will stop you from entering into whatever area that that device is set up for. They have a handheld version of that too, a pain emitter that is a good up to 50 feet. So these are things, again, you can build at home. My brother and I, we talked about this, about getting these a laser kit, basically. Just to, you know, just to fuck with the neighbors, basically. If you have some neighbor that's, you know, that's screwing with you or whatever, you could have a very high-powered burning laser that, you know, could burn structures or whatever from a distance. You know, it's a little pinpoint, but still, you know, you could write your name on somebody's wall and shit with this thing.
Wow, that's cool, dude.
Yeah.
Have you seen this thing where that emits like this layer of slime, and it basically, you know, if you emit the slime, nobody can stand on it. You basically, everybody falls and cars become immobilized, you get no traction whatsoever. I saw that thing too. That was pretty fucking awesome.
That would be wild. So it's just a total anti-friction substance, so that you just do nothing but slide around.
Yeah,
that would be crazy.
Yep, they use it for drought control. Yeah, they demonstrated it on a group of people. They squirted all over the place on the floor, and then everybody basically couldn't move. As soon as they took a step, they were like on their ass, and they had a car try to drive through it, and it slid sideways and off into the ditch. It was,
wow.
Technology's getting nice. It's getting good.
Wow. Wow. So, yeah, and this is stuff that, I mean, stun guns, lasers, I mean, this is stuff that was in movies, and back in the 60s and 70s, when they were talking about these devices, there were a lot of people going, oh, this device would never be made. You could actually never, you know, emit a beam of light that would, you know, that would cause that much damage or would affect somebody's, you know, neural pathways and render them, you know, unconscious or anything like that. And these devices are coming out. These devices are here. I mean, and this is something else with cell phone technology. Remember Star Trek? Remember Captain Kirk's little flip-open communicator? I had a little flip-open cell phone, man. They made it. They designed it. Now you can't. It's not for obviously communicating with some, you know, starship in orbit or whatever. But you can talk to anybody on the planet with the damn thing, and pretty much for free, because, you know, who pays for long distance anymore? So you know, these technologies, again, these things that were science fiction at one time are now becoming science reality. So pretty exciting times. Pretty cool stuff.
I'm still waiting for the Star Trek, you know, the food synthesizer thing, you know, that to come out, and I'm waiting for the death ray or the death phaser. When you shoot somebody, they just disintegrate, beep, they're gone.
I was actually reading about, doing research for this, I was reading about a food synthesizer. They haven't developed it completely yet, but they actually have a working kind of model, a plan for creating this device. The food won't be very good. There'll be some sort of enzyme that will hold the damn thing together. It'll have nutritional value. It'll have some food coloring injected into it. But basically, this device, it would use nanotechnology to produce this goop, basically, that you would be able to consume and survive on. So you're not going to get your, you know, Earl Grey tea hot or whatever, but you're going to get a food synthesizer.
Nice. You know,
so
that's another interesting technology is nanotechnology. You know, be able to have nanorobots come in and rebuild our organs and fix our broken shit in our bloodstream and in our bodies and shit. Unfortunately, I don't think you and I are going to live that long in order to take advantage of this technology, but hopefully our children will.
Well, it's the and there's another link in the description, the nanotechnology link. This is written by a surgeon. I guess there's a video, and I haven't had time to watch the video, but the surgeon basically talks about how people who are in the field now, who are learning about nanotechnology and using it in surgery, and this stuff will, right now I've read something about how it will seal a cut from a surgical cut in such a way that there's no scar present. The nano devices actually go in and basically knit the skin together on that, you know, that tiny of level that there's no scar tissue. But they're talking about how the nanotechnology is moving so fast that by the time you're out of school, out of training for nanotechnological surgery, whatever you've learned is already obsolete.
Wow.
So you never know, man. It could be that by the time we're old geezers kicking around, they're offering sort of, you know, some sort of nanotechnology treatment that actually goes in and even reverses aging.
Wow.
That's part of the promise of nanotechnology, that not only will it repair your organs, but it'll, you know, reverse the damage of aging, which will help people live longer. Now, I question the benefit of extending people's lifespan, because there has to be, first of all, there has to be a market for it, and then there has to be a rationale for it. Right now, we're having trouble with people living longer already on health care and everything else. So if nanotechnology does live up to that promise where you're able to extend somebody's lifespan by, let's say, 30, 50 years, well, there's all kinds of other social issues that occur with health care, with housing, with jobs, with everything. So I don't know that. I mean, it might be that the nanotechnology can do it right now, and it's just not viable. We don't have a viable market for it, because if you release that stuff with baby boomers and keep those people kicking around for another 50 years, well, that just, you know, exacerbates our economic issues for another 50 years as well.
Right. Population control is definitely a key issue when it comes to the advancement of technology. I mean, how long can we sustain the population as it is now when, you know, the average lifespan is, in America anyway, is what, maybe 75 years or something like that? I mean, shit, if we were to live to be 125, that would cause all kinds of problems.
Right.
But the thing
right.
is the technology probably won't, when it becomes available, it's probably only going to be available to the elite, to the super rich. You know, I don't think it's going to be available to the general population for quite some time, if ever.
Right. There's that as well. And you never know. You never know what's going on, because, and this, I'm not a huge conspiracy theory dude, but with the technology we have right now, it would not be out of the question for people who are very wealthy to have life extension type medicine available to them. I mean, they do already now. But then this kind of technology, nanotechnology and, you know, pharmaceuticals and everything else that allow them to live another 40 years. And all they have to do is go off and live on some island someplace so that, because if you had one person, let's say Bill Clinton, okay, I like Bill. Let's say Bill Clinton got some sort of life extension kind of program and it was made public and he's going to be kicking around for another 50, 60 years. Just on the pharmaceuticals and the nanotechnology and everything that's made available, well, you'll have this kind of outcry from the public. Why can't we have that? So even the super rich, if they were able to have access to that technology, wouldn't be able to flaunt it in the public eye. They would have to kind of go away.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. It'll be interesting to see when this technology is actually available, because there'll be certain people that we all know, like maybe the Queen of England, maybe, you know, ex-presidents, whatever, you know, that just don't seem to die. When they start pushing
right,
on to be over 100, then we'll be like, okay, the technology's here. It's just not available to us.
And not only pushing on to be 100, 120 or whatever, but fit and virile. You know what I mean? They're not just old geezers, you know, all wrinkly and shit. They're jogging laps and everything else. Bills of the strip club still, you know, maybe like that kind of thing, you know? So Definitely, though, I mean, interesting these different things are going on. And along the lines of life extension, click on that cloning link, okay? And the question I would put out to people is, do you think that they have not cloned a human being yet? All right? That cloning link in the description page not only takes you to an example of an animal being cloned, but an animal being cloned and the DNA being rewritten so that this puppy, this dog, glows red in an ultraviolet light.
Wow. You know, that's an interesting thing, man. You know, I mean, if they can clone sheep and they can clone mice and shit like that, I don't see why they can't do it with humans. The reason why I think that, I'm sure that they can. I'm sure that they're doing it somewhere, but there's a moral issue when it comes to the soul and shit like that, which is why it's not, you know, the media isn't onto it, because it's kept from the public, probably. But yeah, man, I think they're going to create a super race of people.
Right on. Well, they could. They could go in. I mean, if you can go in and make a dog glow in an ultraviolet light, you know enough about DNA. We already have the knowledge, basically, to not only clone human beings, but also make sure that the DNA is tailor designed human beings to be walking around. And my thing is, I give a damn about whatever treaties and whatever agreements they have, whatever laws internationally they have about cloning. Somebody's done it. Somebody's got a set of 15 kids that are genetically identical, and they're running around, China or whatever, whatever the place, wherever that's going down. But they've done it, man. If they've got a dog, like I said, they can make glow in the dark. They've definitely cloned a human being. And the moral issue about a soul or whatever, my argument with that would be, each of these clones, while genetically similar or genetically identical, would be distinct individuals. So it's like two twins in a natural situation, a natural cloning process, basically. Two twins are distinct individuals. They have a distinct philosophy, distinct mentality and everything else, distinct personality. So I call bullshit anybody that goes, are they sharing one soul or what's the deal? What's going on there? The ethical question I would point out with cloning is you could have yourself cloned, so you have a viable body. Just engineer it so that the brainstem never grows. Okay, it's just enough brain material to keep the body alive and functioning on its own, and then you just harvest organs as you get older. So you've got your twin brother basically that you're cannibalizing every time you need a kidney or a spleen or whatever it is you need.
That'd be interesting. Brain transplants, man. They could just take out your brain.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, if they ever got to that point, there's another route to immortality would be to clone yourself, to have viable embryos of yourself.
Yeah.
And, just transplant your brain from your 60-year-old, 70-year-old, 80-year-old body into a new 18-year-old body. They're transplanting hands now. They're transplanting eyes. They're doing all these other transplants. It's not long, man. It won't be long before this stuff goes down.
I hope so, because I'm going to need a transplant of my liver pretty soon, so hopefully this technology catches up to my drinking.
Right on.
You remember that movie Free Jack? That movie Free Jack with Mick Jagger and Emilio Estevez? Remember? And
yeah,
I've
got my collection over here, yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of the same thing that we're talking about right now, where they're like hunting him to use his body. For some old creepy man's, brain or whatever.
Right. They pulled him out of time. They waited for a freak accident, pulled him out of time so they could go ahead and transplant the dude's brain into his body. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's coming,
awesome.
Man. So the call-in number, again, is 347-989-1371. If you want to call in and you got some thoughts on the different technologies we're talking about, the different things that are kind of cutting edge, or if you know about some stuff that we haven't talked about, give us a call. One of the things I wanted to bring up, a topic that's near and dear to my heart, this is right along with Anton LaVey. Anton LaVey made some interesting predictions or called for some interesting developments socially with his five-point pentagram system, whatever that was. I can't remember his exact phrasing for that. A couple of things he talked about are things that I looked up and actually looked into this evening. The Android sex slave If you click on that link, that will take you to a company that is developing, it's more than a real doll. It's, let me see what this company is called, TrueCompanion.com. Basically, this is a device. It's like a real doll, but it actually has, it actually will talk to you and carry on a conversation. It has moods and everything else. There's a subscription plan, so apparently the robot or the device is updated on a regular basis, probably through cell phone terminals or what have you. But this thing is, it's for the ultimate loser, in my opinion, because this is the best you could do. You have to interact with this machine, but it's available. The LeVay talked about artificial companions, talked about, you know, Android slaves, and this is one step closer, one step beyond the real doll that came out years and years ago. This is now an interactive device. So I thought it was, and it's they're priced relatively the same, the real dolls and this interactive device. I just thought it was interesting to see LeVay's predictions kind of coming to fruition.
Yeah, you know, I can totally see in the next 100 years. With the advancement of microchips and robotics and stuff, that we're going to have some, you know, very, very similar human companions, artificial human companions, I think is what LeVay coined it or something like that. But, yeah, I think that would be awesome, dude. There's so many reasons why that would benefit society. One, people that have neurotic tendencies or, you know, social sadistic tendencies, you know, maybe can take out their frustrations on their droid. Also, you know, it might help to reduce the population. I mean, if, I don't know about you, man, but if I had, you know, Angelina Jolie android, you'd probably never see me again.
Well, actually, I've actually written a couple articles along these lines. One of the articles I talked about was, artificial intelligence, which is another thing that, there's a link to. If you click on that artificial intelligence link, you'll read something about, how there's a race now. They have the technology basically to duplicate a cat brain. Okay, so they're going to create a computer that acts like a cat. So it's just a you know, a few steps away, basically. Well, maybe not a few steps away, maybe a couple dozen steps away from getting to a point where you have a human brain. But they're working on this artificial intelligence. Now, the my thing was an artificial intelligence is just an advanced processor. It just has an intelligence that has access to a wide swath of information and is able to, like a human brain, narrow that information down to relevant information and then access information that's based on, you know, responses and things like that from the whatever it's in discussion with, able to determine which responses best suit the conversation. So you'll have artificial intelligence, which would be true intelligence, but then you also might have simulated intelligence. If you remember in Star Wars, the robot, C-3PO or whatever, wasn't intelligent. He simulated intelligence. It's just he had so much information and so much, there was, you know, so many algorithms basically dictating how he would carry on a conversation, that was the theory, that he wasn't able to be creative or anything like that, but close enough is what they were going for. So, that's where we're going, I think, is at least simulated intelligence. The article I wrote, I called the magic eight ball of intelligence, because like a magic eight ball has just enough, you know, options that it can seem like it's answering your questions, even though it may not be.
Wow, that would be awesome, man. You know, and remember the technology,
yeah.
Like, well, I mean, you being in the military, maybe they had this for the military back in the day, but GPS navigation. I mean, that's fucking awesome. I just recently got a job in the delivery business again. And back in the day, before GPS, man, you had to bust out the old school map and, you know, do the little grid thing and figure out where the fuck you're going. Now you just plug it into your cell phone and it just tells you where to go. I think that's fucking amazing, that technology.
Right. And GPS, the thing with GPS is we use it in Desert Storm to guide these missiles. So we heard about generals in Desert Storm who would be watching they put a video camera on a missile. And basically, they launched this missile, and they could ride the missile right into a window, basically, into a compound or whatever. And it was through GPS technology, laser guidance systems and everything else. As soon as Desert Storm was over, We turned around, we sold that technology to everybody. So here we had, on the battlefield, a clear advantage over any other military force. We could guide a missile. We could put a missile up somebody's ass, basically, okay? And we gave that technology away to everybody. So, yeah, you're able to make your deliveries and everything else, but now, you know, some dude in Mexico can load up explosives onto an airplane and just set up the GPS and send that thing to the White House or whatever. So technology, man, it cuts both ways.
What do you think about the Star Wars? Remember the whole Star Wars program? Do you think
the satellite defense systems?
Yeah. Do you think that actually ever got off the ground?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think I'm almost positive that there's satellites in space right now armed with, you know, air-to-ground, you know, defense technology. I mean, it'd be ridiculous for us not to do it having the technology in the 1980s for us not to launch those satellites and put them into space as a deterrent for, you know, as our own nuclear defense. It would be ridiculous not to have that. So
right.
I totally think that, you know, those space-based defense systems are in place. As a matter of fact, I lean towards the whole, there's got to be a reason why we don't go to the moon. There's got to be a reason why, you know, we have the shuttle space launches from Cape Canaveral and everything else. If you talk to people that live in that area, first of all, that's not the only launch site we have in the United States. And second, that, you know, the launches that you would hear about in the news are just a fraction of the overall number of launches that we have going on all the time. So they talk about, like, we're retiring the space shuttle system and everything else. But we still had, you know, Titan-style rockets that we're launching and everything else. We're still putting a bunch of shit in space all the time. So, you know, who knows what's up there and everything else. But I think that there's probably some sort of military facility on the moon.
Very possible. I you know, and it's kind of interesting because since Americans were the allegedly first to land on the moon, does that make the moon ours? Does that make sure we own the moon?
Well, no, because we have agreements. That's part of the argument for the space-based defense systems, is that we have a kind of an international accord where nobody owns space, and that we agree that we won't try to, you know, go out there and claim territory in space as ours. Now, my thing would be, you know what, if we did actually say we're going to go to the moon and we're going to claim this chunk of the moon as U.S. property, okay, if we actually did that shit, we would be a lot further along in getting into outer space because the Russians wouldn't have given us, you know, a minute's break, basically. They would have been launching to Mars and already, you know, establishing colonies there and everything else. So the space race would have continued had we not had that accord.
That's true. I didn't consider that. Have you heard about the possible ET presence on the moon, and that's why we haven't been back there, is because we realized that somebody else has already been here before us, and that's or are still there? You heard of this theory?
Yeah, I've heard of this. I've heard of that theory and everything, and I don't know if I buy into the whole extraterrestrial. I mean, I'm fully aware that extraterrestrial life exists. It has to exist someplace. Whether or not there's intelligence beings sitting on the moon or whatever, I don't necessarily agree with that. Because, I mean, if they're sitting there, so they've just been sitting there watching us develop, watching us do whatever, and they haven't come down here. It's like the Illuminati argument. If you've got this shadow organization someplace that's running everything, they have just come out and said, hey, we rule your ass, here's your number. You know, same with aliens, you know. And all they have to do is show up and go, all right, you guys put your shit down. We're rolling this shit. You're going to do what we tell you because we got the technology, and it would be done. So, yeah, man, I don't buy into that.
Yeah, you know, it is possible, and there is a thing where if that much technology, if they're so much farther advanced, why don't they just fucking take us over? But at the same time, maybe they've evolved to be a peaceful race of people and don't have an interest in meddling in our affairs other than possibly, you know, directing us, you know, in subtle ways here and there. It's hard to say. We're probably never going to know. Whether it exists or it doesn't,
right,
we're probably never going to be enlightened to it.
Right on.
You know,
right on. Yeah, I mean...
You're like with the Satanic Illuminati, right? People always ask me, well, not always, but occasionally I get these questions on YouTube. Well, what do you think about the Satanic Illuminati? My answer is, well, if there is a Satanic Illuminati, they didn't fucking include me in it. They keep me out of the loop, too.
What you start doing is you start telling them, just start telling people you're not allowed to talk about it.
There we go. That's it.
Just so, yeah, I can't talk about it. I'm going to start putting little pyramids with eyes in all my artwork. So I wanted to go back to the Android thing. I see some chatter about it in the chat room real quick. This is the problem I have with the Android technology, or why I think it won't really get off the ground. It's because it's not cost effective, and the reason it's not cost effective is because you could spend $7,000, $8,000, $10,000 on a pretty decent Android, basically the closest you can get technologically right now. Or you could just go find somebody on Craigslist to come over to your place for $200 and let you do the same thing. You got six to seven billion people walking around the planet right now. It's not going to be cost-effective to have a machine workforce when you got so many bodies not doing anything. It's not going to be cost-effective to have sex slaves when you got so many people willing to do that as a recreational kind of activity. It's not cost-effective. So only, like I said when I was talking about the Androids, you know, it would take a real loser, basically, to invest their whole romantic life into a machine, into some sort of artificial being, especially, like I said, when it's more cost-effective and, you know, the hardware and software is out there biologically. I think that's where cloning will go. You know, it would be probably more cost-effective for you to clone Angelina Jolie than to create an android that looks like Angelina Jolie.
At this point and in the near future, definitely, you know. I mean, if you think about it, to actually build a real android, something that's, you know, very lifelike, I mean, you're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars, right? Well, shit,
right.
Man. You know, you could get a lot of horse that much money. A lot.
Right. Yeah, you could go on. Until Cherry 3000 only costs about $500, it's not going to happen. It's not going to be a viable solution. When it's just
right.
Easier to go get some chick off the street, fuck it, have a real relationship with a human being. I mean, that's a crazy idea. That would be it's not going to be cost effective. We're not going to be the way to go. Let's see, what else do we have here as far as technologies? And this I thought was cool, the flying car. Okay, this company is actually producing. Now, this is actually they call it a roadable plane, basically, which means you can actually put this plane on the road. Let me see what the company's called. And they actually have a few models. Terra Fugia, and I read about these guys a few years ago or so. These folks have, basically, you drive this car to the airport, you unfold the wings on this car, take off, fly. You have up to like a 3-hour, 4-hour flight. So you're going to be tunnel hopping from one small airport to another. But you fly this, you fly to the airport and everything else, and then fold the wings back up and drive right off the airport lot. So it is a flying car. Right now, you have to put down $10,000 to get one of these on reserve, because I'm sure they're still working out some of the little, you know, the laws and everything else regarding, you know, air traffic control and how these things will be licensed and everything else. But I think it's cool that, you know, here I was, you know, watching the Jetsons when I was a kid, and I couldn't wait for the flying cars. And they're finally coming out with these cool little cars that fly, man. And the other thing is they're 35 miles to a gallon when it's on the highway. 5 miles, you get five hours, I guess. No, 5 miles per gallon, something like that. What was it? 5 hours per gallon in air flight. That's what it was. So 5 hours per gallon air flight, 35 miles an hour to a gallon, and flying car, man. Go the hell wherever you want.
Wow, that would be awesome. That would be fucking awesome, man. I remember the first Star Wars, Luke was cruising around, you know, in the planet, wherever the fuck he was from. Yeah, the little hovercraft thing with the sand monsters and shit, you know, when he discovered Obi-Wan. That thing, I was like, wow, that thing's fucking cool. But I've seen a few things on TV and whatnot that are similar to that. But apparently they're not very efficient, and they take a lot of fucking energy to fucking make that thing balance. But I haven't seen what you're talking about.
Yeah, the hover devices, yeah, those things are, yeah, real fucking inefficient. But this thing's a little plane with fold-up wings and everything. Oh, the other cool thing about this flying car, this is the thing I was worried about. You get some dumbass like me behind the wheel, okay, who flies this fucking thing and, you know, isn't paying attention and runs out of gas or whatever. The car has an option. It's an option. So you have to pay a little extra for it. But a fucking vehicle parachute, okay? So not just a parachute for you and your passenger, a parachute for the whole damn thing. So
yeah, you would need that,
man. Right, right. I don't see why it's optional. But yeah, it's. I mean, that's badass, man. I mean, what other airplane can you think of where, you know, if the shit hits the fan and you're in the air, you pop the chute and the fucking thing just floats down the ground, you know?
You know, and it makes you think of, like, you know, if you think drunk drivers are scary, think about drunk flyers, man. I mean, it would be like meteors coming at your ass. I mean, they could just drop on your fucking head from anywhere at any time. Talk about, you know, upping the level of paranoia. Fuck. Now you have
the fucked up thing is you got this. There's this phenomenon called trucker bombs. Okay, truckers, long haul road guys, and these semi trucks. They're trying to make their cut. They don't want to stop into the local truck stop to take a leak or whatever. So they, you know, they empty out a bottle of soda, piss into this bottle of soda, put the cap on it, throw it out the window. Now imagine you're on a fucking long flight. You've been on this plane for 2 hours. You're flying. It's a 3-hour flight or whatever. You got to take a leak. You got to roll your window and chuck that thing out the window, man. Something for a bad day.
And you know, I don't know about you, man, but if I had the option of rolling down the window and throwing shit at the general public as I fly overhead, I would be throwing all kinds of stuff at people just for shits and giggles.
Now, another LeVay technology was personally designed environments. I forget exactly what he called them. Where basically you'd have these, you would come home from, you know, whatever it is your job was, and when you came into your home, your environment would be custom designed to whatever it is you wanted it to be. And I'm sure it could change, you know, on a regular basis pretty easily, but, you know, you'd be able to walk into a Roman bathhouse or a jungle or whatever it is you wanted, that would be, you know, what you would have. This is similar to the holodeck technology that they have in the Star Trek The Next Generation or whatever. Well, they've got, if you click on the link to this holodeck here, they have a room that's probably pretty close to holodeck. It's not three-dimensional. It's projected on the walls, projected on the ceiling, projected onto the floor and everything else. But it's, you know, you're fully surrounded by these images. I'm looking at the picture right now. The graphics look kind of cheesy. So if they can upgrade the graphics and everything else a little bit more to get you hook up with PS3 or the Xbox or whatever, those folks, and get some decent graphics going. But the whole room basically is a walk-in video game. So,
wow, that would be awesome, man. You know what? I did have one personal real life experience with the total environment, and it's not nearly as advanced as what you're talking about, like the holodeck simulations and shit like that. But when I met Zandora LeVay in Hollywood, and she took me to her sister's house, which is off of Melrose Avenue. Her sister's married to this dude. That's where I met Larry Wessel. It was like a forted, a fortress. It was like a barricaded, like, house, like a security gate, camera, and you walked in there. And as soon as you walked in the gate, there were shrubs all around it. You couldn't even see the house until you got in. It was 1960s, man. Everything was like fluorescent colors. The only thing in the entire house that wasn't from 1960s was the computer and the TV. Everything else, man, down to the toaster, down to the, you know, down to the appliances, down to the coffee table, the couches, I mean, the books. I mean, there wasn't a book in there that wasn't from the 1960s. It was awesome. It was really
cool.
Wow. Yeah.
That is cool. And I know there are a lot of people that when they're designing their own homes, when they're designing different rooms and everything else in their homes, that have taken that idea that Anatole LeVay had put out there about creating these different environments, these different moods. They've really taken that to heart. I want to say, and I may be speaking out of turn here, but I saw that Coruscant was on here a little bit ago, and I know that her place, from the videos I've seen and everything else, man, either she just has just a lot of junk all over the place. But she has, it looks like every room is kind of, you know, this kind of fitted or is outfitted for a particular purpose, which I dig, man. It's kind of cool that, you know, you walk into these different rooms and you get hit by all these different, you know, sensory stimuli, basically. And like you're saying, you could sit back in the 1960s, you could have a steampunk room, you could have, you know, whatever, you know. My dad, when I was a kid, he called it his stereo room, basically. The room was carpeted from floor to ceiling. It was carpeted all over the place. these walls, nothing but all these vinyl albums and everything else, and these huge, all this stereo equipment, these huge speakers and everything, and black lights. Okay, so black light posters and shit. And it was the 70s, so he was an old hippie and everything. And but still, had this whole, you know, crazy environment going on. And, yeah, one step closer with that holodeck projection.
Yeah, you know, the holodeck thing, that would be fucking awesome. That thing comes out,
right.
Technology is developed to the point where it is, like on Star Trek, where it's actually convincing. That's going to revolutionize the way people live.
Well, I think even if something they could do new with movies would be, instead of you walking into a movie theater and sitting down in a chair and everything going on is in front of you, okay, you'd have this like walk-in movie where you come into the room and you sit in this chair and all around you the movie's going on, okay? So all the shit, you know, the wall in front of you, the walls beside of you, the ceiling and everything else, wherever you look, you're in the environment, okay? So they have some sort of panoramic camera going or whatever. And, you know, they could do things like your chair that you're in would shake a little bit, so the train rolled by or the horses, you know, rolled by or whatever, your chair would shake. There'd be like maybe like a fan someplace, so gusts of wind would hit you and shit. So and it's not too far out. So, again, interesting times. The interesting times we're living in and everything else, and it's picking up. And I think by the time, I think about my grandmother, who's in her 80s, and just the leaps in technology she's seen, well, technology's moving, you know, exponentially faster. So by the time you and I are in our, you know, 60s, 70s or whatever, it should be just almost a whole different world.
Yeah, you know, I consider that too. I mean, if you think about it, when you talk about technology growing exponentially, if you think about what, I mean, you know, we invented electricity, what, 200-300 years ago, you know? We thought the world was flat 600 years ago or so, you know? I mean, it's like we thought the world revolved around, or the universe revolved around the Earth, you know, 1,000 years ago. I mean, you think of how far we've come in such a small period of time. I think that it's not too long before we are able to conquer space and not necessarily time travel, but, you know, be able to travel long distances in the depths of space. And they say that it's not possible because, well, the closest star is, you know, this many, you know, light years away. Well, yeah, it's not possible with our current understanding of internal combustion motors and combustion fuels and fossil fuels. But when we learn and figure out a way to bend space and time, then we're going to be able to jump from point A to point B almost instantaneously.
Well, I think I find it troubling that we did shut down the space shuttle program without having the next generation of technology online and ready to go. That, you know, that hasn't been a priority for us. As you've heard TC and I talking about, I'm sure we talk about how we're definitely both proponents of the human species becoming a star-faring species, that human beings need to get off the planet. That I'm totally in agreement with Stephen Hawking, which is easy to agree with, you know, one of the smartest men in the world, basically, when he points out that mathematically it's a given. It's going to happen. One day this planet's going to get hit by another large object in space, and this celestial disaster is going to kill us as a species unless we're on another planet. And if anything would unify the human species in a legitimate manner, it would be getting into space and, you know, basically going for what I think is our birthright as a species, being a star-faring race. And even if the technology, even if we are talking about, you know, slow engines, basically, you know, burning fuel, and that's what we're using for propulsion, using other technologies, you know, hibernation technology, the suspended animation kind of things that you see in the movies and everything else, cryogenics and things like that, to basically... Sure, these human beings, that when they leave the Earth and get on this slow rocket, basically, and head out to wherever they're heading, by the time they get there, by the time they get out and thaw out, nobody on Earth is going to be alive anymore from their time. But at least they can get out there, get a foothold in space, and then come back and give us an idea of what's going on. And I, when you read science fiction, a lot of science fiction authors talk about that, how our first real long-range efforts into outer space will be sending people out, and they'll go so far out, and it'll take them so long, and by the time they get back, we'll have already developed the technology that's letting us get there, you know, weeks instead of months, that kind of thing. So, but yeah, it's something that we need to push as a species. We actually need to push the space program and get out there, man. Get out the stars and see what's out there.
Oh, for sure. You know, and it's just, again, it comes down, I think, to money. It's not cost efficient to be putting people on Mars or on the moon. Although, you know, it looks like we're going in that direction, but to actually populate a planet without an atmosphere is going to present a huge challenge. Now, granted, I think we can do it, but I don't think we're quite able to do it with the technology we have in an efficient way yet, maybe in the next couple hundred years. It's hard to say, though.
Right. Right. And you're right. If they do find something on Mars or something like that that's worth exploiting commercially, then there'll be a big push to go get it. You know, the environment be damned. They'll find a way to go out there and get it. But right now, there's nothing that, you know, makes it, you know, commercially viable to go to Mars or what have you. But, you know, it would make sense, I think, just to get out there, just to start establishing, you know, getting a foothold on another planet and, you know, having that backup, basically. If the shit hits the fan here, whether it's, you know, some sort of natural calamity like a celestial impact, or we nuke the shit out of each other, we chemically wipe each other out or whatever, making sure that the species survives, that there's a backup plan. It just makes sense, man. I mean, you back up your computer, why not fucking back up a planet? You know, that kind of thing.
Oh, so, sure, man. Yeah, that's definitely a great idea. And, you know, honestly, even if there was a giant celestial natural disaster like an asteroid hit, I think it would wipe out the majority of the population, but I think there'll be pockets left on the Earth where people will survive, you know, places that people have hidden, underground caves, shit like that. You know, don't get me wrong. I mean, it's not going to be friendly, but I don't see any mass extinction actually happening. It hasn't happened in what, a million years that we've been evolving or whatever it is yet.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, I guess it could. If a big enough asteroid, I guess it could crack the entire world in half if a big enough one hit.
Well, and even the last mass extinction didn't kill off everything. So you're probably you're probably right. I could agree with that you're going to. That's the thing you're going to with. And what we're talking about there, though, even that kind of celestial impact, all right, that would leave the planet intact. What Hawking is talking about is just some big motherfucking comet on our planet apart. Okay, that. You know, these kinds of impacts happen in space. We witness them, you know, using the Hubble telescope and everything else. We witness them all the time where there was a planet there one day and then some big motherfucker came through and smashed it and it's gone. So it's just a matter of time before not just some impact that leaves a crater, but something that blows the Earth into a nice thin, you know, layer of dust, basically. So
right.
That's the concern. Now, dialing it back a little bit, one of the new technologies I thought was really kind of cool, I'm a big fan of comic books. So in comic books, every once in a while, you'll see some character that has some sort of power suit, okay? They wear some sort of armor or some sort of mechanical device that makes them stronger, makes them faster, and everything else. I want to say that the new G.I. Joe movie, I haven't seen the movie myself, but I think the new G.I. Joe movie, all these soldiers were equipped with these body armors that made them stronger and faster and all kinds of shit. Well, they have, they've developed a, if you click on the, where is that, your body enhancing armor link in that page, they've actually developed devices that you put the suit on and it makes you stronger. It makes you able to lift heavy objects and other stuff. So, It's that technology, that kind of Iron Man technology that is on its way. And what I thought was really kind of cool about this bodysuit, the bodysuit is called a HAL bodysuit, H-A-L. So the 2001 HAL, the HAL exoskeleton. And the company that's producing the HAL exoskeleton is Cyberdyne. Cyberdyne is the name of the fictional company that led to Skynet and the Terminators.
Right.
So,
right. I remember
so
that.
They're using all these different names. And it's a little caveat, a little note to, on the side here. There was an internet company back in Indiana that called themselves Skynet. I don't know what they were thinking. They ended up dropping the name eventually. But it was, you know, it was internet technology, basically. So the same thing that Skynet was, a military internet, they were pushing this internet technology and calling themselves Skynet. So the HAL exoskeleton by Cyberdyne, coming to a factory near you, probably. So check that out, man. That's pretty some heavy shit.
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
So,
I think it's possible that in the distant future, we're going to replace human soldiers and military with robotics to fight our wars for us. You know, I think we're going to try to lessen the casualties of human beings, and replace the technology and robotics, and then whoever can build the best and fastest machine is the one that's going to win the war.
You know, when I was in the Army, we had discussions about that because I was in prior to the Predator drones being developed. So we knew the stuff was in place where you'd have remote control vehicles. We had machine gun mounts that you could fire from inside your tank or whatever. So you actually didn't have to pop your head out. You just used the camera that was on the machine gun. This is stuff that was being tested. You would see through the scope of the machine gun without actually being behind it. And you just fire with a remote control like a video game. The issue that was brought up with this is that with wars, we're not just throwing machines at one another. With the war, what you're basically doing is you're saying that we're willing to invest human lives into, you know, whatever cause that we're supporting, we're backing. That when if you have a military that's completely mechanized, first of all, it has weaknesses that a biological army wouldn't have. An electromagnetic pulse could take out most of your machines, things like that.
Right.
But then the other thing is you're not as invested in whatever it is. You know, your claim that, you know, you believe in whatever cause you believe in, and you're willing to die for that cause, which is why you go to war, it isn't there if you're sending machines.
Right.
Okay, so while you're willing to invest, you know, huge sums of money, you know, in equipment and everything else, you're not willing to invest lives. So it kind of undermines your argument. I say, fuck it, I'd rather send robots than people. But that was the argument that was given to me by somebody that was very studied in the whole war thing. But yeah, I'd rather send in the robots. Send in the robots or send in the fucking zombies, whatever. One or the other. So we got about 7 minutes left in the show. You know, I see that TC, it looks like he's logged in the chat room as the ooze. But I don't even see him necessarily. It looks like he did something. I don't see him actually commenting or anything else, so I don't know what's going on with TC. Hopefully he'll be here next week. If he wants to call in, he forgot the phone number, 347-989-1371, last 6 minutes of the show. What's going on with you, man?
Oh, not too much, man. Yeah. Not too much. You know, I just tuned in. I mean, this is, your show is today, and I almost religiously catch the Sunday show because it's not on but early in the morning like the Saturday show.
Right.
You know, glad I could fill in for TC. I'm sure he'll be around. He's probably having technical difficulties. You know, I know a lot of
right
time he goes up on Skype, and maybe his internet's down or whatever. Who knows? But yeah, man.
Right on.
Yeah, it's an interesting show, man. Hopefully, the technology is going to change the future, obviously, and it's an interesting time to be alive right now. It really is. You know, I mean, a lot of cool things going on, a lot of cool things up and coming, and you know, hopefully we'll be around to see them, the fruition of them.
Right on. Yeah, TC, I'm sure, will be on the news next week, which let me go ahead and pull that page up and see what we're doing next week. I don't know I'm sure I'll get a call from him after the show or whatever, and he'll be like, yeah, man, my phone was fucked up or my Skype was fucked up or something.
Well, I know next Friday's Ooze were highlight edition of that guy Sovigan, who was the
yeah,
that's Friday's highlight edition. Thanks to Lexi, our new Ooze secretary for putting all this stuff together and starting to coordinate it and everything. Yeah, Sovigan's going to be on Friday. I'm not sure about Saturday. And I'm not sure about Sunday. Of course, I'm only pay attention to my day and my responsibility.
I think it's going to be interesting to hear from this guy, Sovic N. I did some, when he first called into the Ooze that one night, man, I did some research, and the guy's been pretty heavy in the pop culture, music scene and everything, and now he's like the warden of some sort of work release program in a junkyard where he's got these, you know, he's got criminals basically he's overseeing 40 acres of junk he's dealing with, and he's got some interesting ideas about Satanism and stuff like that. So it'll be interesting to actually talk to that dude. The discussion edition on Saturday is the numbers game, and I'm pulling up here the numbers game. TC and Darkpool go through a list of numbers and various meanings to uncover just why they are relevant to the left-hand path. So a show about numerology, basically, this Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And then the Sunday night show, the Outbreak show, because we do all the weird shit, is going to be Weird Religions. So we're going to be talking about Sunday night, next Sunday night, weird religions, kooky religions. I got a list. I got a whole bunch of books and everything else on different little weirdnesses out there as far as the human species and what we do for spirituality. So that'll definitely be a fun show. So you definitely want to check that out. So,
yeah, that would be interesting.
We got about 3 more minutes left. If you guys don't know, we sell stickers at www.creativebodystudios.com. So if you'd like to help support me and the Ooze, because we pay for this, TC and I pay for this thing out of our own pocket. So anything you purchase from Creative Body Studios kind of helps offset the cost of the Ooze in a weird sort of way. Lots of stickers, new skateboards. I'm working on some new T-shirts. But there's all kinds of stuff there. And if you're interested in a piece of original artwork or whatever, you see some stuff on there that you want to know if I still have the original, get a hold of me. Send me an email. I'll be happy to go ahead and talk to you about what I'm willing to part with that piece for if I still have it. The Satanic International Network is still up and running, right?
Oh, yes. Better than ever before.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's still the hottest commodity of Satanist real estate on the internet. Just any pretenders to the fastest growing Satanist internet network claim are just that, pretenders. The Satanist International Network is still where it's at. So definitely check that out if you're listening to the show on archive or live. If you're not a member yet, www.sataninternationalnetwork.com. Pretty hot and heavy chats all the time. Tiny chats got going on. There's blogs, there's forums, all kinds of crazy stuff going on. If you want to hook up with Satanists in your area, there's even the gathering section, so you can kind of log into that and check out different Satanists in your area and find out what they got going on. We had some cool events during Walpurgis Nacht, April 30th, and everything else. And I've got those. I'm putting those photos up. I should actually do that tonight. I'll be putting those photos up on my site and telling people where to find that next week on the show. And I'll probably put some links on Facebook and Satanic International Network and everything else so you can see the insanity. So,
nice. You know, I witnessed part of your Walpurgis Nacht party, man. It seemed pretty fucking wild, dude. I'm looking forward to the annual meetup here coming up in October in Austin. It's gonna be a hoot, to say the least.
Yeah, that's gonna be wild. And this my thing with that is I'm definitely going to be doing that. I'm actually talking to some folks about working at a tattoo studio. So I may actually be working at a studio on 6th Street while all that's going down, but I'll be definitely taking Halloween night off so I can participate in all that. Don't know what's going to happen with the studio thing. If not, I'll be able to take the whole week off or whatever because it's my time. I do what the hell I want. But yeah, man, definitely looking forward to that. Definitely look forward to just a crazier party. And it'll be interesting.
Yes, it will. All right, well, it looks like we got 1 minute left of the show. Just want to wrap it up here. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in.
All right, yeah, thanks for everybody in the chat room. Keep the conversation going. Thanks for the input. And, I guess we'll talk to TC next week. So,
yep.
Fuck it, man. That's the use. Catch you guys later.
Later, man.
Thank you for listening to The Ooze. Opinions expressed by our guests or callers do not necessarily reflect those held by Venture or Beast or any institution associated with us. The Ooze does not condone any illegal or unethical acts. If you have been offended during the production of the show, we're sorry, but as the old expression goes, tough luck. Thank you, and see you next week.